SEC. Sounds of the game.
Faking the give to Jacobs. Now they throw it to Josh. Left side, he's got it. He's open. He's taking it in for a touchdown. They faked the give to Josh Jacobs, then threw it to him in the left flat, and nobody came over to cover him as Bama leads 20-0 and the extra point to come.
Three receivers right, two out to the left. DeAndre Swift is slot to the left. Here's the snap to Fromm. He's back to throw. He looks. He throws over the middle. Got a man wide open. 25. Down to the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Georgia. Terry Godwin found room in the middle. Made the catch and sprinted to the end zone.
Handoff, Brossette. Left tackle. Brossette inside the 10. Inside the 5. Carrying about 5, 6 Razorbacks into the end zone. Touchdown, Tigers.
Right before the end of the first half. Garantano back to throw. Sets up. Winds up. Fires it long for the end zone. The pass in the end zone is going to be batted around and caught. It's going to be caught by Jawan Jennings for a Tennessee touchdown.
Whoa!
Final play of the first half, and it's Jared Garantano gunning it long on the Hail Mary, and it was caught by Marquez Callaway.
SEC sounds of the game.
Clock running, 4:25 to play. Franks in the pistol. P. Ryan to the right. Pistol. And now there's the snap and a touchdown as Franks carried into the end zone for a touchdown. And the Gators have taken their first lead today. Florida 34, South Carolina 31.
Shermer throws toward the end zone. Knocked down. Game over. Missouri wins it. 33-28.
SEC Sounds of the Game brought to you by Kroger. Before the game, head to Kroger for fresh ways to feed your football fans. It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we look back, though, on the weekend that was at college football with the new poll coming out tomorrow night, though there won't be much change, if any, in the committee poll. The College Football Notebook brought to you by Dixie Vodka. Football season means tailgating and a true Southern tailgate. Not complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and raised in the South. Everybody who's everybody, anybody in the top 10 won on Saturday or over the weekend, Hugh. So it's probably not going to be a whole lot of change. Alabama with another shutout, back-to-back shutouts. They haven't allowed an offensive touchdown in 10 quarters. Man of mercy, their defense is playing at a tremendously high level. I mean, they shut out LSU and Mississippi State back-to-back. Who else in the nation does that? Nobody. Not even Clemson does that.
Yeah, I tell you, the game that I was watching this weekend, John, and I thought about you weird, I know, but watching Ohio State-Michigan State game, and the way that Ohio State was struggling in, like, the first three quarters of the game. Couldn't run the ball, couldn't throw the ball. Couldn't do anything. And they kept cutting to Urban Meyer and the way that he looked. They looked really, really like they looked bad. And it almost looked like a team that is fighting just to stay, keep their head above water. Mm-hmm. But they got it going and they eventually won the game 26-6, but it took Dwayne Haskins a little while to get going as far as the game was concerned.
Well, yeah, the Ohio State-Michigan game. Now, see, the Big Ten is going to be – because Northwestern actually just won the West. Believe it or not, Northwestern is in the Big Ten title game. Northwestern, they're the West champions. Now, they'll play the winner of Michigan-Ohio State, but, boy, the Big Ten needs Michigan to beat Ohio State. The Big Ten needs Michigan to beat Northwestern. Now, will Michigan still be number four? Now, Michigan went out there and played well this weekend. They beat up on Rutgers, which is what they're supposed to do. They beat up 42-7. But Georgia was so impressive against Auburn. And listening to the committee last week, Hugh, when they said that it was real close between Georgia and Michigan, who knows? They may elevate Georgia to number four.
Yeah, but the thing about it, John, if they do decide to do that, Georgia still and Alabama still have to play. Mm-hmm. So it's you know what I mean? It's to get people excited, get the juices flowing and everything. But it's still going to work itself out. Michigan still might be sitting right there in the catbird seat.
Boy, nothing in Clemson's way, it doesn't seem.
No, you know what's funny? And you was talking about Trevor Lawrence and playing in that cold weather game. That was the first time he's played up north like that, playing a game like that, and played pretty good. It's got off to a slow start. Boston College scored first, and that's when I sent that premature tweet out, thinking that Boston College was going to give him a game. And they settled down, and AT's laughing at me, and they took care of their business.
You mean after the punt return?
Yeah, no, what, man? I was just making sure I picked the right team. I just want Why you laughing?
No, you were trying to. You were making sure we were awake.
No, I was just making sure. I was like, well, hold up. Didn't I pick? I was like, hold up. Didn't I pick a? Didn't I pick?
Sending text messages out. Don't ever do that again.
No, I'm just saying that. Was, you know, it was the first time for everything. Like during football game, because I used to get on John about that. Because John would send out tweets like every 5 minutes after everything happened. Like, oh my gosh, this could be a game changer or something like that. And so I did it this time. And I got called on it. Mm-hmm. So that was cool.
Notre Dame did what it had to do against Florida State, partly, and I take nothing away from Notre Dame, but partly there's that side story here of how bad Florida State is. Wow, wow, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're really bad. But Florida State is almost as bad as Notre Dame's alternate uniforms.
Why did I know you were going to do that? Why did I know that? Because I was just thinking about the tweet, Daddy. That's the tweet that you sent to us.
Oh, my God, they're awful.
That you sent. I can't stand those uniforms.
They were disgusting.
What was wrong with them?
They were disgusting.
They were bright. They were bright. I'll tell you the thing that I didn't like.
Looked like rejects from Leprechaun 4.
The helmet and the pants, they didn't do a good job of matching that color. They didn't like it was like almost like you had on three different colors.
Yep, you had a gold helmet.
Yeah, you had
pads,
a shiny gold helmet,
lime green, whatever the hell. With the jersey. It all looked bad.
That's what it was. That's the tweet that you sent. That's the text that you sent.
Well,
you
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody liked them out there, but it looked like they got dressed in the dark.
You know what it was? It was just too much going on because your helmet didn't match your pants.
Right.
You should have just if you were gonna go, you should just went all green.
Yeah,
and did with the gold helmet.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have worked probably better.
Yeah, because it was like you were looking at three different colors. You had three different things going on. You had the shiny helmet, and then you had the monotone gold pants, and then you had the bright green like pop out at you like Kelly green.
And guys either had shirt. Yellow or black shoes.
Yeah,
and
it was just like it was a collage of horrible colors. No, they should have if they were gonna do that. They should have changed the helmet. But I guess you can't because you're the Golden Domer, so, you know, whatever.
It's sort of like when you just find clothes on the floor and you just need to put something on to go to the store because you need eggs or something.
Kind of like what I do every day.
Like for Thanksgiving.
Day. Yeah.
And you just brush off. Oh, this will work.
Yeah. Kind of like what I do every day.
Hey! Yes, hey! You should probably take a picture of your outfit in the Notre Dame uniforms.
Yeah, yeah. And be about the same.
Yeah, very similar.
It's the same concept. It's the same concept.
We should actually do a poll. Who wore it better, Notre Dame or me?
Oh, I got this. They can't even infringe on this outfit.
Well, you're actually matching today. So
a little bit.
He's good.
My
today.
Socks ain't matching, though.
Hey, he's got those shoes on. Those boots with shorts.
Well, you got your Uggs on.
You got to show that, Wendy. Yeah, you got to tweet that.
Ain't wrong. What's wrong with my Uggs? No. Man, don't hate on my Uggs now.
You got on man Ugg boots. Cut it off.
These boots are comfortable.
Not Tim's, but man Uggs.
With cargo.
I'm surprised no one said anything about that cap you're wearing, though.
What's wrong with my cap, AT?
Yeah, AT, what did you say when he first walked in the door this morning?
Who are you, Bullwinkle or Rocket?
Buckle up my sleeve. Bristol.
I ain't thinking about y'all, man. It took me a while to perfect this look that I'm rocking right now.
I bet you did. Like a 16-year-old.
like 2 minutes this morning?
It took me a while to perfect this look. No, this is years of cultivating this look.
Lighten you up this morning,
man. This is years of doing this.
This ain't old to look like that.
This ain't no flashby. This ain't no fly-by-night operation over here.
You're exactly like Notre Dame. You just kind of put stuff on.
You're right. And everybody can't do this. Everybody can't do this. I'm just saying, it does. It works well.
Just don't do it again.
Every day.
I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And it's going to, you know, it's truth about men. You know, truth about men is probably going to happen again.
Oh, that's
yeah, it is going to happen.
Tracy Byrds. Yeah, right. I was spot on. Big week though for teams around here. All right, except for Georgia State, which went down to
they had an
Louisiana.
Opportunity in the third quarter though.
Yeah,
they had some opportunities, man. It's been a tough season. It's been a tough season with Coach.
And we'll see what Sean Elliott does next year as he tries to build this program up. Outside of that though, Kennesaw State is rolling. They went to New Jersey and just waylaid Monmouth and won another conference title. This was a ranked Monmouth team and they just blew them out of the water at their place. Kennesaw State is number two in the nation. And it'll be really intriguing to see how far can Kennesaw State get to the national title game because looming is that powerhouse. If you think Alabama is unbeatable, check North Dakota State in 1AA, okay, in FCS.
Carson Wentz, the fighting Carson Wentz.
Oh, man, that team is unbelievable. Yeah, I wonder sometimes. North Dakota State is so good, you know, in 1AA football. You wonder what they would do. Would they be They might be the best non-Power 5. They may be better than UCF. They may be right there with UCF.
You think so?
Yeah, they're pretty darn good.
I would
good.
Like to see that, yeah. Like to see those two teams play.
Yeah, by the way, UCF did win. They're still unbeaten, but UCF might not be, if you just look at the standings, one of the things that would be interesting tomorrow is, will UCF actually make it to a major bowl? If they lose, I think that the team that could come out of the non-Power 5 to make a major bowl, nobody is looking at a team that's out there right now. Utah State could make their way into like the Sugar Bowl or the Rose Bowl or something. I mean, Utah State, because Utah State is, maybe not the Rose Bowl, but they'd be in a major bowl, is 9-1, and they are ahead of the Mountain West Conference, and they are crushing everybody out there in the Mountain West Conference right now. So just keep that in mind. Suddenly you wake up going, wait a minute, Georgia's got to play Utah State? Well, what the hell's a Utah State? But Georgia did look good. I'm not saying Georgia's going to make a major bowl. They may make the playoff the way they're going. If you're Alabama, I got to think that you watched that Auburn game, Hugh, thinking you got this year, especially with revenge on your mind. But you also watched that Auburn game thinking, you know what? We're going to have our hands full in Georgia.
Oh, yeah. No. Georgia had their hands full against Auburn. So, yeah, you're looking at that game. It's not a cakewalk. And now with Tua Tagovailoa being hurt, banged up like he is, John, and you're going, what was the third-string quarterback's name again?
Mac Jones.
Yeah, but Mac Jones out there, couldn't remember his name. You might be going into a game with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when they were doing I forgot what they called, the Bama walk, when they were walking in, I saw Jalen Hurts walking in with a boot. He had a boot on his foot, so he's not healthy.
Well, you know, you got to deal with injuries. And now, you know, and then one of the people saying, you know, some of the Alabama fans saying, hey, listen, you know, this week, might as well play the third stringer. Because remember, this week is that stupid, god-awful, terrible, 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 embarrassing SEC week where you play nobody. Georgia's playing UMass. Alabama's playing the Citadel. Alabama could stick his JV team out there. They're playing the Citadel. Come on.
What's wrong with that?
Everything. Besides everything, everything.
Citadel probably will get a nice little check for that game.
I'm sure they will. Good for them. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, but it came at the right. I mean, when you think about it, John, the schedule that these teams have, you kind of got to do it like that. I still
think they need to play 9 conference games. I think the committee should hold it against them. They don't. I'm sorry, I do.
When have they ever held it against them? Why would they do it this year?
They haven't. I know, they haven't.
Why would they do it this year?
And they probably won't. And I'm just saying the committee ought to. I mean, if the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, everybody else in the Big 12, if the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 are all going to play 9 conference games, you ought to, too. I mean, you play 8, and instead of playing a 9th conference game, you play the Citadel? Okay. I mean, I'm not saying Alabama wouldn't, you know, if their 9th conference game was, you know, against, I don't know, pick a team, Vanderbilt. I mean, but still, at least it's a conference game. It's not the Citadel. And I don't mean to be sliming the Citadel here. The Citadel Bulldogs, nice program, but everybody, even the most ardent Citadel fan, knows that, you know, you're going to have your hands full here. So the good news is they don't even have to play Tua this week and they can win the game. And so they may just give him the entire week off. The other big news of college football, Bobby Petrino fired by Louisville. Because, my God, Louisville's awful. Man of mercy, are they terrible. But that's very good news. I'm glad Bobby Petrino's unemployed. Hopefully nobody ever hires him again. And that school, Hugh, has – look at the problems that school. Rick Pitino, you know, from, you know, the nasty, you know, woman in the Italian restaurant – I'll try and keep it as clean as I can through the hookers in the dorms, through the paying players to show up $100,000, through Papa John's being a racist and all that kind of stuff, between Bobby Petrino and, you know, everything else he did, you know, oh, my God, that's school. Well, wait, which part of what I just said is wrong?
I did.
I sure did. That was me looking side-eyed. He's nasty, but he's nasty, too. So I need nasty,
nasty
man and nasty woman.
I'm just letting you go, John. I mean, you know, you're on one. You finally got somebody fired. Like, somebody finally got fired.
Well, especially that.
And I'm
glad I self-edited there.
It's a day when you know somebody, you know one person is jumping up and down. Somebody got fired.
Oh, there are a lot of Falcons fans with
me.
No,
I know. Ain't no love lost for him. Love lost for him. I do know that. I do know that his name was mentioned yesterday when it actually went down.
Oh, and how it went down is crazy because on the coach's show, and they run a crawl, Bobby Petrino has been fired.
You mean during his coaching show?
Yes, during his coaching show.
John is so excited to read all these
details. He really is.
Yeah. Look at the joy.
Wow, John.
It's like a 6-year old.
I mean, you got fired and you didn't know you got fired? Like, you doing your show.
They may have taped the
show. It was taped. The program was taped.
So they're running the coach's show. And, oh, by the way, breaking news, Bobby Petrino fired.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Well, coach, what?
That's the kind of fire where you don't even go clean out your office. You just be like, you know what? Forget y'all. I'm leaving.
He knew it was coming.
He's still getting paid, though.
Yeah, of course.
$14 million.
Yeah.
Give me all of mine.
Of course.
She.
He's getting paid to not clean out that office. He's and you're getting his gone. Wow.
I just hope nobody hires him. Please, nobody hire Bobby Petrino. Make him go away. Dave Archer is going to join us live. Dave's thoughts on what he saw. A very disappointing Sunday yesterday and where the Falcons stand now.
It's a Monday, and time to take a look back with Falcons Monday.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. John and you on the morning show on this Veterans Day observed. And a salute to service out there to all. Let's check in with Dave Archer and see what the story is on the Atlanta Falcons now after what took place yesterday. Morning to you, Dave. Hello, Dave.
...of how the game went yesterday.
Yeah, hey, Dave, are you with us?
I'm here.
Ah, I got you. Yeah, I got you now. Morning to you, Dave.
Punch the right button, John. Punch the right button.
Wait, I was punching the right buttons. It wasn't on me, was it, D? It was on me?
It was me.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I thought it was good. Anyway, the Falcons didn't punch the right buttons yesterday either, so it's emblematic.
Yeah, the weather and the button pushing pretty much symbolize what we did yesterday, no question.
Dave, I got to be honest. I'm still kind of unpacking this game, to be totally honest. What was it that Cleveland was doing that looked like it had Atlanta off kilter?
Well, defensively, Atlanta had a tough time sorting out some looks they hadn't seen. That, for whatever reason, that diamond look they came out with and ran the ball out of, Atlanta had not seen that. And it featured some power running. It also featured some option play stuff out of it. So they didn't adjust to that very well. And then the fact that Atlanta played loose in coverage, so it allows you to get the ball out quickly. And Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens, the offensive coordinator, a ton of credit. Says, hey, you're going to give me those throws. I'm going to get Baker Mayfield some easy, quick throws, the slant routes, the quick throws to the backs, the checkdowns. He got the ball out of his hands, so the pass rush could never really ever get there. He never held the ball long enough. The one time he did hold the ball long enough, he gets out of the pocket, pushed out by Grady Jarrett, and he throws a touchdown, and Robert Alford lost coverage on Higgins down the field for the touchdown. So all the things that were happening defensively in the first five games when you won in four came up yesterday. They didn't tackle very well. They weren't lined up properly a number of times, and they played loose coverage, and they didn't hug up on people. So all those things came to bear yesterday defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, you got to be able to run the ball against a two-deep look. When you're going to play two deep safeties, and I mean deep safeties now, these guys I mentioned on the broadcast are back in Marlboro country. That means two guys aren't even in the play. You've got to be able to run the ball against that, and they couldn't run it. They had no effectiveness in the run game, and because they're playing so deep, they were taking away a lot of the deep shots. So Ryan was having to throw the ball underneath. So if you're throwing the ball underneath, better be pretty accurate and getting it done, and Ryan missed some throws. And so everybody had their moments in the game. They didn't play very well. Don't convert on third down. And the next thing you know, Cleveland's got the football, and they get some momentum and some confidence.
Talking with Dave Archer about what went wrong in Cleveland in a 28-16 loss to the Browns. You know, you were talking with Devondre Campbell after the game, and we played that interview that you did with him. And, Devondre, you know, very open, very honest, brutally honest in a lot of ways about the fact that maybe they didn't take this game as seriously as they should because it was the Cleveland Browns. There was some sluggishness there on something, and Dave, I don't know what it was. I mean, from the jump, even when they took the lead, that team seemed to never have a sense of urgency to it.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, John. I thought that there was a listlessness about them. They're looking for somebody else to make a play. I thought that we've got it just all the things that were happening defensively in those first five games that got you to 1-4, you're running around blocks. You're not taking blocks on. I thought there were a number of times where if they're going to get that ground attack, and Hugh can tell you, the front seven, you got to take blocks on. You can't run around them because what you do is you create creases in the run game. And so the long run that you go back to Chubb's long run, the 92-yard run, which really was the backbreaker in the game, Duke Riley runs around a block on the second level, which creates the crease at the second level. And then Devontae Casey comes in and completely whiffs on the tackle. You're playing safety for a reason. That means you limit the play. Okay, so it's a 45-yard play. Okay, we'll settle for 45 yards. It can't be 92 yards. Okay, so as a safety, you have to slow play that, get a number of guys around the ball. Trufant did a good job of filtering the play back to the inside from the corner spot, but KZ completely whiffs on the tackle. So those are things that were happening in the first five games. They happened again yesterday, and that's why defensively you didn't play very good.
Talking with Dave Archer about yesterday's game against the Cleveland Browns, what is the inability to get a half yard? What is that?
Well, some of it is the guys up front aren't coming off the ball. And I've talked about it before. This is not – I think people think that, okay, we're a power running team. We're not a power running team. This is a team that likes to run the stretch play and try to stretch you out and find a crease. But they want to throw the ball. And the strength of their team is their perimeter players and the quarterback. So you're not a power come off the ball, mash people in the face run team. Now, I will say – Atlanta got hosed a couple times down there close, and I'm not. We lost the game. Cleveland won the football game. Make no mistake about this. But the officials have got to get out of the way, and for whatever reason, the little chubby line judge that was on the Falcon on the near side, the Falcon sideline, would not get out of the way so we could get the ball snapped. Ryan has got a bubble over him on third and short from the half yard line. He's going to dive over on the Tom Brady, whatever you want to call it, Drew Brees, quarterback sneak where you throw the ball, jump, and extend the ball over the – he can't get the ball snapped because the official won't get out of the way so they can get the ball snapped in with the pace they're trying to play. Subsequently, there's some substitutions come in. They were able to adjust defensively, and they couldn't get the ball off. But that doesn't give you any explanation as to why we can't come off the ball and get a half yard. Tevin Coleman gets stoned. I will say if you go back and look at that play – there was a chance Tevin was in the end zone, but you're down 28-10. If you're Dan Quinn, you can't afford to challenge and not get it because you have to have your timeouts to get back in the game. So Q was in a bad spot as far as being able to challenge both on that play with Coleman, and I thought that Hooper was in the end zone.
Hooper was absolutely in the end zone, no question.
Yeah,
about
I thought
it.
Both of them were touchdowns, but you can't challenge him, John. Because you have to save your timeouts because you dug yourself into a 28-10 hole.
Talking with Dave Archer about the Falcons and the Browns on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Dave, I mean, we're looking at this team now. I mean, in your opinion, can this team still make it to the playoffs?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about it. It's an explosive football team on offense. And look at the landscape. You got the Vikings sitting at 5-3, 5-3-1. You got the Panthers at 6-3. Those are the two wild card teams right now. So you're 4-5. You got seven games to play. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. Nobody's playing great football. Look what happened to Carolina on Thursday night.
Mm.
They got run out of the building by the Steelers. Mm. You think that Carolina team is going to walk through the rest of their seven games?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot can happen still, but you got to play more to your capabilities if you're Atlanta. You got to play more like the team that played two weekends ago in Washington, the one that played this weekend. So it'll be a gut check this week for Atlanta as they get ready for a Dallas team who did Atlanta a favor last night. They beat Philadelphia, made Philly 4-5, and now you've got the same record as both Philadelphia and Dallas. Dallas comes here. You can eliminate Dallas by beating them this weekend. Philly's got to go to New Orleans. You're not going to catch New Orleans down. Okay, but you're going to have to beat them potentially down in their building, which is going to be a tall task.
Yeah, that'll be a Thanksgiving night thing, and now that game becomes almost a must-win for the Atlanta Falcons. We're talking about the Falcons and the Browns yesterday against Cleveland. The Falcons just never got anything going on either side of the ball, and kind of a disheartening debut for Bruce Irvin, who I'm sure would have liked to have had more of a say in the proceedings here. Is he, you know, so excited to be in Atlanta? And you're right. I mean, I don't understand not press coverage. I mean, I explain this one to me. Why is Desmond Trufant 10 yards off the ball on third down and 9 and letting somebody sit in his own, you know, in front of him to catch a first down? I don't get it.
Well, I think, John, you got to understand the coverage now. So if I'm playing a deep third zone, I'm expecting a second-level defender, namely a linebacker, to buzz out underneath that route. It's not just him off at 15 yards and he's going to let anything completed underneath him. The underneath part of the coverage, so we tend to look at just the three defenders that are playing the deep thirds. There's four other defenders underneath him that have to take away those throws. And so he didn't get the buzz out underneath to limit the ability to throw that out route. So I understand what you're saying. Everybody wants the buzz. Everybody wants to jump on Desmond Trufant, and True certainly deserves some criticism. But there were a number of times he was right where he's supposed to be, and he wasn't getting the help that he's supposed to get when you play zone coverage. So now playing up tight on bump and run and letting the guy beat you on a slant, I mean, they don't do a very good job of using their hands. Trufant doesn't run as well as Alford does. True could do a better job of using his hands in press coverage. He has a tendency to get beat on that slant route, and he doesn't get physical with the corner. I think so. That's one of the reasons he has a problem up there. But on that particular play, he's expecting a defender underneath him to take away that easy throw to the outside, and he didn't get it.
Dave, real quick here, as we get ready for the coaches' show this afternoon at 4, we expecting to hear any definitive word on Deion Jones' availability for this week today?
Today, no. You won't get anything today. I think you'll be lucky to get it by Friday. But I think you'll hear some stuff, obviously, on Wednesday. But if Deion Jones is not completely ready, I would not play him. I think you're good enough. You can, if you go play, now you got to play. But you can beat Dallas in your own building with the people you have, and Deion Jones be ready for Thursday night, because maybe it's all fast for Deion to play Monday, play Sunday night and Thursday back to back.
Gotcha. Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks much.
Good man, Dave.
See ya.
All righty, Dave Archer joining us this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline. When we get back, we'll venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Xfinity X1. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. What you got in Hughes World?
Yes, we're going to unpack this game just a little bit more, John. A little bit more, because I know there's a lot of people out there on the couch. They need some couching. They need some therapy. I'll talk about that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our scheme is T-ball, get ball.
T-ball, get ball.
We're going through the last Falcons game on Falcons Monday.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hughes World has been brought to you by Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
You know what? I'm still kind of in football mode. I'm still trying to impact this game from yesterday. I know I've been talking about it a lot this morning. And I understand. I just want to say this. I understand the fan when they get upset and want to fire everybody. I do understand. I kind of understand where you're coming from, John Freaky, because you wear your heart on your sleeve and you are emotionally invested in this team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at everything that was good going on for this team, and then for them to go out and play that kind of game, you kind of like shaking your head. There was some mean stuff being said on Twitter yesterday.
No kidding.
You know, and it's just amazing to me how you can go from one extreme to the next, knowing that the Cleveland Browns get paid too. And I think that's the thing that I have to point out to everybody, because I went through it too. Because I'm going to tell you flat out, John, my first thought after this game was, this team does not deserve to go to the playoffs. If you play like that, that was my first thought. And that was the thought that I was going to roll with this morning. Because I'm looking at all the Twitter reactions, I'm watching the game, and I'm just looking at the sloppy play. And my first thought was, I was going to come on there this morning and say, this team does not deserve to be a playoff contender. But I also had to sit back and get out of my feelings and look at it for what it was. Cleveland came into this game looking at it like, this would be a huge feather in our cap if we can knock off a team that's ascending the way that the Falcons are. And that's the exact way that they played. And they did. They had a simple formula. You know what? We're going to play keep away. We're going to try to keep that offense off kilter as much as we possibly can. They did a good job of that. For whatever reason yesterday, Matt Ryan was off target for a lot of his throws. You saw there were times in that game where it looked like the Atlanta Falcons started to wake up and come alive and beat the Atlanta Falcons that we saw beat the Washington Redskins a couple weeks ago. But that was never the case. Baker Mayfield, today was talking about how Baker Mayfield was really playing keep away. He was throwing some slants and some crossing routes, not crossing routes, but out routes on some frozen ropes. He really let that thing have it. And Nick Chubb ran like a young man who realized that he was going to finally get his opportunity to shine. He probably ran better. He looked, well, it's the pros, but he looked better running yesterday than he did at Georgia. He looked like he could have potentially been a first-round draft pick if he would have ran a little bit more like that at Georgia. So you got to get credit where credit is due. But to sit there and say that you overlooked the team, I mean, I get it. But most of the time when I was in a position like that, John, I was always the team that was always overlooked. You know, the Cleveland Browns have a lot of pride. And that's the thing that people have to understand in the NFL, that you're still dealing with grown men who have a lot of pride. That team has been on the cusp of winning football games all season long. And you kind of knew going in that it was not going to be that easy, especially with the way that Baker Mayfield plays. I think that where this young team, this young Falcons team, which isn't that young anymore, but what I think they got caught up in was the fact that they were doing everything right. And the fact that, you know, they probably were believing their press clippings and everything like that. This is a grind, man. And you can never take any team in the NFL lightly. That's the biggest thing that I took from this game. You can never take any team from this in the NFL lightly. And so this morning when I woke up, I thought that, okay, now since I've had a little bit of time to think about it, this team isn't that bad. They just ran up on a team that's putting it together. And again, when you look at the games that the Cleveland Browns have been in, for the most part this season, they've been in every game. It's just that at some part of the game, somewhere in the third or fourth quarter, something has broken down for them and it's not went their way. Look at the Cleveland. You look at the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the tie game. You can look at that one and say that was a game that if the ball bounced either way, they could have won that football game. Mm-hmm. They had an opportunity to win that football game. Right. So they have some players.
It's like a college all-star team for crying out loud.
Basically. And Miles Garrett is a beast.
Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, you know, Miles Garrett, Emmanuel Ogba, Denzel Ward. I mean, it goes on and on, right? They got a good young players.
They got a bunch of good young players, man. And you know what, man? Hats off to Baker Mayfield, man. You know, going into this game, guy had over 1,000 yards, almost had 2,000 yards, throwing 10 touchdowns. You knew that he was going to come to play. And that competitive spirit that he had. He's what Cleveland needs. He's definitely the kind of quarterback that Cleveland needs. He's a guy that doesn't give up. He's a guy that goes out there and he plays hard all the time. They just need to get some more weapons around him. And I think they just found out they got a nice little young running back as well. So I think instead of Falcons fans, instead of killing everybody here and trying to fire Coach Quinn and questioning their coaching and everything and saying all that mean stuff that y'all want to say about Sark, just get a Cleveland Browns their props. I mean, they're an NFL team too. And you know, with Devondre Campbell talking about how they kind of took the Cleveland Browns lightly, I still don't know how I feel about that one. Not taking any shots at him because he was being honest. And you got to commend the guy for being honest. But at the same time, you're not in a position. You're not that good right now. Your team has dealt with a lot of injuries this year. So you're not good enough to take anybody lightly right now. And that's the one thing that you have to take from this whole experience against this Cleveland Browns. This is a learning experience. And like I said to somebody yesterday on Twitter, even though this loss is somewhat embarrassing, know that Cleveland has some players on the other side of the field. And everything that you still want to do is still in front of you. But learning lesson, you cannot take anybody lightly. And you're not good enough to go out there and just say you put your helmet out there and say, okay, we're the Atlanta Falcons. You need to respect us. No, y'all ain't got it like that. Not like that.
Yeah, and then you would have said on Saturday going into this game, hey, you know, beat Cleveland, and then you've got Dallas because we're trending up and they're trending down, and look how one game changes that because Dallas – last night went out and Ezekiel is leaping over Philadelphia Eagles.
We ain't got to talk about that. We ain't got to talk about that game.
All right, it's your world.
No, go for it, John. You can talk about it. I'm going to let it go. Go for it. We ain't got to talk. That game, gosh, that was terrible. The Dallas Cowboys. And they were fighting before the game. Did you see the two guys out there on the field fighting before the game? It was like had a little dust up.
Hey, did you see the Baylor fight? The Baylor-Iowa State fight? Did anybody see that one? Oh, that's worthy of watching. A Baylor player, I mean, they were throwing haymakers at each other.
Into helmets. I never understand that.
That Baylor-Iowa State fight was so bad, the cops were on the field.
Yeah, some of these guys should be suspended for the rest of the year.
Wow, Daryl. That's how we doing it this morning? All right, dude, I really ain't got nothing to say.
Yeah, that Baylor-Iowa State fight. The police came out to break it up.
What the Raiders do this weekend?
They got drugged. I mean, I'm kind of, but you know what? I'm a realist, though.
But you're numb to it now.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that was terrible.
I'm not going to walk around here and make excuses. They got beat.
Everybody got beat this week.
Hey. Right, more reaction from you at 404-741-0929. You can call us, light us up. We'd like to know how you would vote in our Twitter poll about what was the biggest factor in the Falcons' loss. 404-741-0929. And we'll play that Devondre cut again in case you missed it, what Devondre Campbell said after the game. It's all ahead on a Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity X1. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. That's next with John and Hugh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.